Today's daf is Daf Zion. We are going to start at Hanu Beitre. Two lines from the bottom of Vav Amud Bet. Okay, refer to them up for the week. David Avram Ben Mirin Dvorah Batina or Lepinah Bat Racha Frida Yael Mirin Bat Chaya Yaakov Ben Rosa David Ben Golda Daphna Chaya Bat Sari Lana Mir Bat Dina Reza Bat Pesha Rivka Bita Bat Leah Dvorah Chana Leah Bat Freda Chaya Nomi Dvorah Bat Shulamit Lilonish Machana Bat Avram Bat Teretzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov Alevi Umela Yosef Ben Tzvi Akoyim Berachel Oz Avram Shum Ben Elezer Yitzchak Alevi Vachana. Just a reminder, I'm not teaching tomorrow and Tuesday. Back to learning on Wednesday. Okay, Hanu Beitre Havu Dairei. There were two people living in a house, one in the downstairs, one in the upstairs. I told you when we were learning Baba Metzia, and we got to that parak, that this was our lead into Baba Batra, or maybe the reverse. This is a continuation of that. Rashi actually says that there are two brothers, which makes this situation all the more complicated, or you can see in a sibling rivalry type of way. So two people, so imagine, according to that, the father leaves the house, and one says, fine, I'll take the upstairs, I'll take the downstairs. Okay, chad v'dayer ila'a, right? One's living upstairs, v'chad v'dayer tata, downstairs. Itbar tatai, the downstairs breaks. What does that mean? It means the roof of the upstairs basically sinks. And it sinks down, and now the downstairs is stuck with a very low roof. Amrale tatai li'ilai. So the downstairs guy says to the upstairs guy, tavenivnie, let's rebuild this house. So obviously, what does the upper guy say? Amalei ana shapirka dayurna. I'm living very nicely up here. I've got no problem. Amalei, right? Because his floor fell, but it's still existing. The walls are sinking. I guess that's really right. The walls sink down, and then basically the floor drops down, the ceiling, right? So there's basically, instead of having two nice levels, there's one nice level at the top and a very small level at the bottom. Amarle istre ana ve'evnie. Fine, you don't want to partake in the cost. I'll take down the whole house and I'll rebuild it and I'll pay for it. Amarle leitle duch telemedarba, but I have nowhere to live in the meantime while you knock down my house. Amarle ana ogre lach duchta. I'll rent you a house. Amarle lo tarachna. I don't want to bother, right? I don't want to bother moving. It's a headache. Lokar mitadrali.
I can't live in my house.
Right. So he says, lo kamitadrali. So he says, I can't live in my house, right? It's so low. So he says, shuf akresech va'o v'shuf akresech upuk. He says to him, bend down when you go into the house and bend down when you go out of the house, right? The assumption is if the walls are falling, it sounds a little bit like maybe inside the house is okay, but by the entrance it's a problem. So he says, so crouch down every time you go into the house and live with it. Amar Rav Chama b'dina kama akev. This is going to be the first halacha we're going to see of Rav Chama. We're going to see a bunch of halachot of his today. He says one brother has a right to basically prevent the other brother from rebuilding his house as long as he has a minimum amount of space to get in and get out, even if he has to crouch down and it's uncomfortable, right? This sounds like a crazy case. By law, there's nothing he can do because it's true. The other guy is fine and it's a headache for him, etc., which is kind of odd, but that's what they say. Vahane mile, but obviously we have to come up with a certain minimum, right? Vahane mile de lo matu kishue lamata measara. What's our minimum height that the korot, the beams across the ceiling, which are right the floor of one, the ceiling of the other, don't go lower than 10 tefachim. Okay, this goes back to Sukkah, right, where we talked about Rishuyot and Eruv, what we had also, but this measurement of 10 tefachim, right, which is pretty low, okay, right, 10 hands breaths, right? Think about how high that is. Pretty low. That's the minimum. If you ever go to Neo Kedumim and they have a sukkah that's that height, you can see how low it is. It's quite low. Hard to imagine someone could actually live that way. Okay. Ava matu kishua lamata me'asara matze amrale. Matze amrale. Okay. Right. Matze amrale lamata miyud reshuta didihu v'lo meshabed lach. Okay. You can say to him, right, according to this. One second. Right here, I think this is just the continuation. He says, right, he can say,
at that point, he can tell the upper guy, your floor is in my space.
Right, that's what he's saying. He's saying, less than that, you're already in my space, and basically, you know, I can't, you basically, you have to, like this space, and it's before that you're saying my space exists to support yours, but lower than that, you basically can't force me to do that. Okay, so now we're going to have one caveat, though, another caveat. V'hane mile delo atnu gabe hadade, aval atnu gabe hadade satru ubanu. But that's as long as they didn't make an agreement in the first place. But if they had an agreement in the first place, then you're allowed to rebuild, okay? In other words, the bottom guy can force the top guy to rebuild. So this is all, let's assume two brothers split the property and the walls start caving in, the top sinks down to the bottom. As long as it's above 10 tefachim, the bottom guy can't force the top guy to get out of his house so they can rebuild the house. However, if it's above 10 tefachim, or if they agreed in the first place that if such a situation were to happen, then he can force the upper guy to move out and to knock down his house. But what's the problem? Even if they made a tnai, they didn't generally say until what height. So now the Gemara has to establish ad kama. Okay, in other words, to what, if we atnu lagabe hadade, we made an agreement from the beginning. So what's the measurement of how low the ceiling has to be for him to be able to enforce this agreement? Amar Rabbana kamei deraba, mishmei demar zutra berei derav Nachman, da amar mishmei derav Nachman. Okay, so we have a whole slew, right? The rabbi said in the name of Rabba, who said in the name of Mar Zutra, the son of Rav Nachman, who said in the name of his father Rav Nachman. Ko tasha shaninu romo kichatzi orko kichatzi rochbo. Okay, this is based on the Beit HaMikdash, which was 20, right, I don't remember now which was, 40 by 20. Okay, I don't remember which was the length, right? I guess the length was 40 and the width was 20. That makes sense. So add that up, you get to 60, and half that is 30, right? So if you add the length and the width, right, just the two numbers, obviously not like the whole perimeter, but, you know, so you would say 40 plus 20 is 60. Half of that is 30. That was the height of the Beit HaMikdash. So basically, take your space, measure the length plus the width, divide it by two, that's the average height of a, okay, which is interesting to say that the height is based on the size of the space. Right? It's an interesting thing. So that's what they're saying. So any lower than that, you can already say, this is too low for me. Amar lehu rabba lava mina lehu lo titlu be buki usriki b'Rav Nachman. I think that's how it reads, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now he's saying, didn't I tell you, right? I have to get the exact translation, right? Didn't I tell you, right, right. This is how, right. I knew it was a strange one. Not to hang empty pictures on Rav Nachman. That's what he's saying. Don't put buki v'sriki by Rav Nachman. Okay. In other words, what does it mean to not hang empty pots on Rav Nachman? Don't try to say that he says ridiculous things. That's a ridiculous statement. Hachi amar Rav Nachman. This is what he said. Ki didayre inshi. Okay. The way people live. V'kama. And how much is that? Amar funa b'ray Rav Yeshua. Ki hechi di'ayle isturita de'mechosa. Okay, what does that mean? It's v'hadar. It's in order that people should carry these reeds, that people carry these bundles of reeds in mechoza, they would carry them. In other words, you need to have your house functional. So this is an interesting case where they bring an example from their life, which you wonder, why don't you just give like a measurement? But it's one of those cases, I think, where the whole idea is it's meant to be interpreted, right? A lot of what we learn is meant to be interpreted. Some of it we interpret, and some of it is specifically meant to be interpreted. This you could say probably they meant it, because some people use their houses, right, in certain different time periods, people use their houses in different ways. And he's basically saying, right, if you want to bring in this thing of reeds and take it out, you need some space to move around and some height. So depending on what you do in your house and what is generally nahug in that area, that's how much of a height we're going to determine. So obviously what's interesting is they're trying to come up with a number, but they don't actually come up with a number, right? They're describing based on, you know, right, function, right? Which obviously
is going to... Which we've seen again in brachot and other things when they don't just say a time.
Exactly. It's like brachot. When they don't give a time, they give a description of what people did then, right? So sometimes, so there, it's unclear, because there they really seem to be sticking to times. They're connecting them to Tzedek Chavim and things like that. They kind of later also, they try to put times to these descriptions. Here, they're really keeping the description, and I think that they're doing that on purpose, because houses are different, have different functions in different times. Okay, Ha'u Gavra, another case. Dehavu b'nei Ashita achorei kviyei dechavrei. Okay, he had a wall, right? He built a wall outside the window of his neighbor. We talked about this the other day, right? That basically if you can't block the light going in. Amarle, kama afelet alai. You're causing it to be dark in my house, right? You built this wall and it's behind my window and it's making it dark. Amarle, sacharna lachachi vavina lakve le'el me'ashitai. You have an issue? I want to keep my wall where it is. What'll I do? I'll take your window, I'll close it up, and I'll make you, or I don't know if he's saying I'll close it up at this point, right? There's a whole bunch of, right? I'll seal your window and I'll make a new window for you above it, right? Because if my wall is this height and your window's that height, so if I build you a wall on top, all the light will come straight in. Amar le, kamirai le la shitai. But you're going to weaken my wall if you start knocking down and building a window. Remember we talked about how windows are going to make the walls weaker, right? So you're going to knock down and build a window there. It's going to weaken my wall. Amale, satarna lach lashitech, aduchte de kave, ubanina la, vavina la kave bibinyana, le'el me'ashitai. So he says to him, I'll knock down your wall. And as you're worried about the wall weakening on top, if I cut out a window, so I'll knock down the whole wall from the height of the window and up. I'll knock down the wall, I'll build a window, and I'll build you a new wall, and that wall will be nice and strong. Amar le, satarna lach lashitech, adu, did I just read that? No. Amar le, right, I read that part. Sorry, I lost the place. Amar le, ashita mitatai aticha, umila el chadita lo kayama. He says, my wall underneath is old, and if you build me a new wall on top, that's not going to work very well, okay? That's not going to be a strong wall. A wall that's made up of old and new is not going to be very well, very lasting. Amale, sartarnale ad da'ara. So fine, I'll knock down the entire wall. Ubaninala, and I'll build you a brand new wall. Vavinala kave bigava, and I'll put you a nice window in that wall. Sounds good. Amarle, chada ashita, chadita, bekule beta atika, lo kaima. If you're going to have this one brand new wall connected to my old walls, it's not going to work. I think the assumption is also that when you put the plaster on and you put it on something that's already plastered, like it's not, or the cement or whatever it is, it's not going to hold well. Like new on old doesn't work so well. Or he's just making some sort of a claim, right? Whether this claim has legitimacy or not. Yes. All these stories sound a little bit, right, fetchy, especially the first story, two brothers. I mean, come on. The, you know. Amarle, I had to tell my kids that story. There was no way that wasn't happening. Amarle, satarnale leo, this is not how not to behave. Amarle, satarnale lekule beta, ubanina lach. Kave bibinyana. I'll build you a whole new house. You don't want the one wall attached to the other wall. You also have to think the other guy is being a little extreme also, right? Why is it so important to have this one? This is, you see people, by the way, you know, they get so crazy about their plans and what they do. They want this one wall specifically there. They're willing to do so much just to make sure it happens. I'll knock down your entire house. Rebuild your entire house with windows in that kind of place just so that I don't have to knock down my wall. Amarle. Now we're going to get to, right? Lately, dufte lemeidarba. I have nowhere to live in the meantime. Amarle, agirna lach dufte. I'll rent you a place. Amarle, lo tarachna. It's a headache. I don't want to move all my stuff. So Amar Rav Chama again. Here comes Rav Chama. What's he going to say? Bidin kama akev. By law, he's allowed to do this. Okay, he's allowed to prevent him. The guy living in the house with the window is allowed to prevent the guy with the wall from doing this. So basically, the guy has to knock down his wall. And he can't build the guy's house from scratch and make him move. And it's a headache, right? Can you imagine? Your neighbor wants to do nice something and it's, you'd have a nice new house, but you know how people build houses. You never know how good it's going to be. And okay, so anyway, we all know what a headache moving is. So, okay, so now the Gemara asks, Hainu hach. What do you mean? These two cases are basically the same, right? V'hatu lamali. So why does he have to tell us the halacha in both these cases? Hakamash malan. Even if the guy, okay, imagine the second story is the chiddush is that even if this was just a storage house, the guy can still be ma'akev. Okay? In other words, even if it's not a house he's using for living in, he could still say, I don't want my storage house to be dark, and I don't want to move my stuff besides, it's not just him moving himself, but even just have to move his stuff. would be a headache for him, and we don't make him do it. Okay, another story. Hanu betre ache, two brothers, depalge bahade adai, they split up the property of their father. Chab mate asplida, v'chab mate terbitza. Okay, one guy gets a hallway, okay, which is considered like a nice hallway area, and the other gets, it's a field, right? A gina, a garden. Okay, that's right next to the, right, Rashi specifically tells us it's a traklinya fit, it's a very nice hallway. And the other guy gets a gina that's right next to the traklin, which obviously connected to our last story, what's going to happen? The light from the gina comes into the hallway and lights up the hallway. Okay, you have to wonder, I mean, it's true we all like well-lit houses, but you got to wonder that in those days it was probably much more of an issue of just aesthetics, but it was practicality. Light was very important because they didn't have electricity, so it made a much bigger difference.
Also, I would think that the wall, if it was holding the sunlight away from the garden, it was preventing those plants from growing.
No, but the garden guy is the one who's going to put up the wall. Okay, we're not worried about the sunlight for the garden. Okay, so they split up the property. One gets the nice traklin and one gets the gina, the garden. Azal hahu dematye tarbitza, so the one who gets the garden goes, v'kabane ashita apume dasplida, and he builds a wall right at the entrance to the hallway. Now, some of the mafreshim ask here, don't they have to build a wall? Isn't that based on what we said about privacy? Hezek re'iyah, right, Nezek? Hezek re'iyah? So they say maybe in this case a hallway doesn't exactly demand privacy and the garden does, like, they try to get around it somehow. So the assumption is you don't have to build a wall, and he builds this wall right there. Amarle kama faltala, you're making it dark. Amarle bididi kabanina, I'm building in my property. You know, I have rights to build in my property. So Amar Rav Chama bidinka amarle. Okay, Rav Chama continues to always support the guy who built his new wall. Says he's allowed to do that. Oh no, actually no, it's the opposite. The other guys, he said he was ma'akev. In this case, he says he's allowed to say this. Oh, okay, sorry, my confusion. Amalei Ravina l'Rav Ashi, Maishna meha detanya. So Ravina says to Rav Ashi, how is this different from this Braita? Shnei achim shechalku. Echa mehem natal sade kerem, ve'echa mehem natal sade lavan. Okay, so one gets a kerem, and one gets a field. Yesh lo labala kerem dalet amot b'sade lavan, shal menat ken chilku. The Bala Kerem has, the brother who takes the Kerem has rights to 4 amot of the field because the assumption is that he's going to need the space for the plow share to go through. Okay, so therefore, al menak en chalku, it must be that they agreed in the beginning that even though one has rights to one and one has rights to the other, one has rights to 4 amot into the other one's property to allow his plowshare to go through. So isn't that the same here? That even though he says, I'm building in my property, shouldn't he be able to say, well, it's true, except that the place where you built, I have rights because the sun, I have rights to the airspace for the sun to come through. And isn't that, you have to remember, this all belonged to both of them and they split up the property. So when they split it up, wasn't it implicit in the agreement that he was going to need the airspace to have the light come into his hallway? Amarle hatam de alu lahadade. Aval hacha mai de lo alu lahadade. And in that case, he paid him for it. In other words, when they split the sadeh and the kerem, the bala kerem gave him a little extra money to say, I want to have rights to the 4 amo. Okay, he paid him for it. And here, he didn't pay him anything for it. Okay? So then they say, right, he says, Hatam da'alu lahadade. So now they say, so aval, they're saying there, there must have been something in the splitting up, right? Either one got a little less land so that he could get some of the rights to that. So there must have been some sort of agreement. It must have been part of the agreement. So now they say, aval hacha, mai de'lo alu lahadade. You think one didn't compensate the other? V'chi b'shuftani askina, and you think we're dealing with idiots here? Da'hai shakel asplida, v'hai shakel tarbitza. V'lo alu lahadade? Could it possibly be that one guy took this beautiful, and that's what Rashi says, this beautiful hallway, and the other guy got a dumpy garden, so to speak, right? You think he didn't compensate him for that? And don't you think that the guy who got the hallway gave some money to the guy, right? It was unfair, so he must have compensated him somehow for it, and if he compensated him somehow for it, then he should have rights to some of the airspace. So now what are they going to answer? Amarle, no. Dehida alu lahadade, deme livne kashure behorde, deme avira lo alu lahadade. Okay, so now they're going to say, wait, just because he paid him to compensate him for, let's say, the levenim and the beams and all sorts of other things, and that he gave him money for certain things, it doesn't mean that he compensated him because he had a nicer thing. But it doesn't mean that he gets the airspace. That he wasn't compensating him for the rights to the sunlight. Okay, that's definitely wasn't included in the price. Belemale meikara asplida paligli hashta meshavetli idruna. Can't he say to him, wait a minute, but I got a hallway and now you're turning it into an idruna, which is basically a very dark hallway that's totally useless. In other words, without light in the hallway, you imagine, and we all know that when you build a house and you build a hallway, you have to put good lighting in a hallway because hallways don't have windows. Without lighting, you're stuck. Your hallway's basically useless. So he's saying, can't the brother say, listen, the brother got the hallway. We split this property. I was supposed to get a hallway and you were supposed to get a garden. So I got a hallway, but now that you put up your wall, I don't even have a hallway. It's a totally useless piece of property to me. So Amar of Shemi Barashi, Shema Ba'alma Paligle. So now, Shema Ba'alma Paligle. Can't he say to him, and we saw this before and we're going to see it again, that I gave you a hallway in name, and you have a hallway in name. You might not have a hallway in use, the one that you can use, but it's still called a hallway, and that's what you got, and sorry, you know, it's still called a hallway. You can't claim anything on me. How do we know that you can make a comment like that? Because Milo Tanya, didn't we learn? Ha'omer beit kor afar ani mocher lecha. Af al pi she'eno ela letech higio shalom acharlo ela shma. V'hudamit kare beit kor. If you remember this, if you say to somebody, I sold you a beit kor afar, which is a measurement, right? Even if, right, I sold you an acre field, even if it was only half an acre, right? A letech is half a beit kor. The sale is a good sale. Why? Because he sold him this field, which was called an acre field, even though the field's only actually half an acre. And that's at least b'tnai that it's called a beit kor, that's what they call that field. They call it an acre field, even though it's only half an acre. Again, another case. Pardes ani mocher lecha. Right, I'm selling you an orchard. Afalpi, the assumption of this is that an orchard is something that has rimonim, pomegranates. Afalpi she'embo rimonim higio. Even though, right, if I say I'm selling you an orchard and it turns out there's no pomegranates in there, it's still a good sale. Shalom acharlo elashma v'udmit kare pardes. Right, it's still called a pardes even if there aren't rimonim. Right, assuming this is still called an orchard, even if it doesn't have rimonim, the sale's a good sale. Because again, we say shma ba'alma. He sold him the name. Right, what it's called. Right, I'm selling you this vineyard even if there's no grapes. Higio, it works. Shalom acharlo ela shma v'hud mitkarya karma. As long as it's called a karen.
Seems somewhat misleading.
What's misleading?
To say I'm selling you this and I'm selling
it is a little misleading, but the assumption
the buyer has to check it out.
Right, it does. The buyer does have to check it out. You wouldn't buy a property without looking at it. If you looked at it, you would see that there's no grapes there, and you'd know. So again, it's right. It's a matter of responsibility. Who's more responsible? And again, there is a caveat, which is as long as they call it by this name. If they call this a vineyard, and you can say, I'm selling you this vineyard, and even if it doesn't have grapes, that's the assumption. So now, that should compare to our case, right? He's got a hallway. What's the difference? Whether now it's a dark hallway or not. So now what do they say? Mi dame. But these two cases aren't similar. Matze amar le mocher le lokech shma zvinelach. Hacha matze amale adata tahachi palge dadir nabe kihechi didaro avhatan. So now he says, when the lokech is buying it, he says, right, you're right. The seller could say, I sold you a name, right? I sold you this field and it had this name. But the guy, when the brother split it, the brother who got the hallway can say, when I agreed to take the hallway, I agreed to take the hallway the way our father lived in the hallway. And now you're changing, right? It's interesting that he's saying the way I view it is, when I got it, it was a hallway. It's different than the beit kor, where as soon as I get the beit kor, it's not a beit kor, right? It's half. But here, he got it. It was a good, perfect hallway. And that was what his expectations were. Later, something changed, which now changed the effects, you know, of how the hallway is going to function. And that's why it's also seemingly unfair. Amar le mar yunuka mar kashisha bered Rav Chisda le Rav Ashi. So now mar yunuka mar kashisha, the sons of Rav Chisda, say to Rav Ashi, Nahardea latamaya. Nahardea, they go lishitatam. Okay, Rav Chama was from Nahardea. Okay? And he says basically that he can say, right, the way my fathers, and therefore, right, 1 second. Right, according to this, do we have Rav Chama yet? Sorry, I got confused. Amr of Shem Barashi. Right, so here they're going to say that in Nahardea, which is Rav Chama, they go to Shitatam, which is the Amr of Nachman Amr Shmuel. Ha'achim shechalku ein lehem lo derech ze al ze, ve'lo chalonot ze al ze, ve'lo sulamot ze al ze, ve'lo amat hamayim ze al ze, ve'izhiru bahen shalachot kfu'ot hen. Okay, so what do we say here? Brothers that split property, this is very interesting. This is very extreme. Lo derech ze al ze, one can't use, if they took this property of their fathers, so let's say one is upstairs, one is downstairs, so one can't, right, and let's say the chatzer, right, they, one can't walk in the property of the other to get to his property, okay? He can't even use his property as a path. Ve'lo chalonot ze al ze, they can't use their windows, okay? They can't claim exactly this case, that the window's blocking my, okay? They can't start having a claim that your window's blocking my light. Ve'lo sulamot ze al ze, there's a bunch of different interpretations of what this means. Let's go with Rashi. Let's just see. Rashi says, right, if he can't put his sulam, if one has, right, remember, you have to get upstairs using your sulam. So you can't put the sulam on the other guy's property, okay? Which is, right, obviously going to complicate things if there's no other access, right? But that's why this is kind of extreme. Below amat hamayim zel ze, okay, that you can't bring water, like create a water channel through the other's property to get to yours. V'hizaharu, okay, now the interesting line, which we're going to see another line like this later today. V'hizaharu bahem, and be very careful about these halachot, shahalachot kvuotein. Okay, generally, people have to say this to strengthen their halacha, right? And as he's trying to say, we have to take this very seriously. Probably people weren't keeping to this, right? And it was causing a lot of arguing back and forth between people who split property. And he basically says, right, according to this, Shmuel says, and he was from Nahardea, Rav Chama was from Nahardea, the brothers basically have no rights, right? Once they split the property, okay, one has no rights to anything of the others, okay? And not to complaining about his windows or anything like that. V'Rava Amar Yesh Lahen, okay? But Rava disagrees, and he holds the brothers do. Okay, some people say it's the Hagahot HaBach changes it. It's not Rav, it's Rav. Okay, you can imagine why Rav and Rav would get switched by mistake, right? When people are writing over the Kitvei Yad, you know, the manuscripts, you can see that Rav and Rav. Lots of times they would write Resh Bet with a Chupchik, you know? So whether or not the Chupchik is there, right, that could create a confusion between Rav and Rava, okay? And then if you write Rava, if you write Resh Bet with a chipchick, it could be Rava with a hay, Aleph, it could be Rava with a hay, right? There's a lot of confusion all the time between all those names. Okay. So there's a machloket about whether you have rights to basically the windows of the other space. Another last case, I think, of Rav Chama. Hahu shtara diyatme. The Yitomim had a shtar that their father loaned out money to someone. Now remember, if you have a shtar, that usually means that it wasn't paid back, because usually the lova, if he paid back the money, he would rip the shtar. However, sometimes, let's say the guy couldn't find the shtar at the time, right? Very common, can't find the shtar, so what do? They write a shovar, a receipt, basically, that says, I paid, and there's witnesses signed in the receipt that the guy says, I paid. So at this point, it's a little complicated because we're dealing with kids. The kids don't know what the father did. The kids just see there's a shtar that somebody owes them money. So they claim, the guy owes me money. What's going to obviously happen? Yatme dinafik ale tavra. There's a shovar that the lova brought out and said, hey, I paid this back and here are witnesses. Amar Rav Chama, agvuye lo magbinan le, umikra lo karinan le. He says, we can't let the Yatomim collect this money because the guy has a shovar. On the other hand, we also don't rip up the shtar. Why? Dinapik, here we're going to read inside. We can't collect it. Why? Dinapik tavrale, because the shovar went out on it. Mikra lo karinale, dechigadlu yatme, dilma mai churaya umarele. Maybe this shovar is a forgery. How do we know? Right? We don't really know. we want to give the Yatomim a chance that when they get older, they could try to disprove and say, hey, these witnesses are false witnesses, and see whatever means they have to try to figure out whether the witnesses are false witnesses, and maybe it was a forged document. You can imagine, right? This is all part of that concern that people are taking advantage of Yatomim. Right? So we saw that before, that people have to swear that they didn't get paid back if it's the reverse. Right here, the Yatomim are the collectors. So there's no way to do it right now. So basically, we kind of leave things as they are. They get to keep the shtar, and they get to keep the shovar, okay? But maybe one day down the road, the Yatomim will figure out a way to disprove the shovar, and then they'll still have their shtar to collect the money, right? If they rip up the shtar, then they'll obviously have no way to collect the money. Amrei Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava l'Ravina, hilchet hamai. So Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava says to Ravina, what's the halacha? Like, is that true? Amar lei, what's the halacha actually saying in all these cases? Amar lei, bekulu hilchata kerav chama, levar mitavra, desade b'shakre lo machas kinan. He says in all these halachot, between the right, the sichsuchim between the two people, we paskin like Rav Chama, okay? That basically, one doesn't have rights to the other stuff, right? Basically, Rav Chama's whole agenda is keep out of the, right? You've got your property, you've got your property. Keep your issues separate, right? The brothers can't force the other to rebuild the house. You can't kick someone out to, right? To, if you want the, you want the light, you can't, you built the wall in your house. You have rights to build what you want in your property. You know, you can't start claiming other things. The achim shechalku, no one can claim anything about their windows, about their this. You can't climb through. Your property is your property. Your property is your property. And kind of don't get into mine. Yeah, what?
Can you say you have to take down the wall that's blocking the window rather than rebuild the house?
No, I think he, yeah, you're right. So it's don't take down the window. Sorry, don't take down, right, you can't, right, so that, right, but it's, you can't force someone else to build, right, in other words, okay, so let's rethink it. You can't force anyone else to rebuild their house or, do something to make it convenient for you, but you also can't let them use your property for anything. In other words, we basically keep our own separate lives, okay? I can't knock down your house so long as you have, right? If you have at least minimum space to live, so you can't make me knock down my house. You know, I can't, the upstairs guy, right, doesn't have to be kicked out. So basically, right, and the brothers have to keep very separate lives. Now, this other case is quite different, this last case of Rav Chama. It really doesn't have to do with all these others. And that's, in the end, what they say, that we daf the pasuk like Rav Chama in all those other cases, but not in the shovar case. Now, what's the big difference in the shovar case? That the guy who has the shovar, so it says, desahade b'shakre lo machaskina. Where do we assume all of a sudden, if someone brings a document with witnesses, that it's going to be a forged document? Like, that's weird. So basically, he doesn't hold that way. But Marzutra, Bereder of Meriamar, Behan Nami Hilchatake Rav Chama. We do pass on like Rav Chama. Dim Ita de Tavra Ma'al Yehu, Ibaila Fuke Bachaye Avuhon. Midelo Afke, Shmamina Ziyufe Zaife. The assumption is he should have brought it out in the time. The assumption is that if the father still had the shtar out, it must be that he had tried to collect it, and the guy never brought a shavar saying, I paid you, otherwise they would have ripped up the shtar. So the fact that he didn't take it out, b'chaye avuhon, in the time the father was still alive, it seems a little fishy. And therefore they think that it could have been a forgery. I'm not 100% sure when they have expected this guy to bring it out. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it also has to do somewhat with the fact that he still has, that the Yatomim still have a shtar in their hands and that it was never ripped up. Okay, new Mishnah. Kofino to livno beit shar delet lachatzer. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer lo kol lachatzero ruyot lebeit shar. Okay, here's a nice picture in the Koran. I'll pass it around. People built these gatehouses in front of a courtyard. Okay, we're going to see all different types of options of how they built it and where they built it. Was it outside the chatzer? Was it inside the chatzer? So remember, chatzer was a place where there were a few houses. And you can force all the people who live in the courtyard to pay the hotza'ot for the beit shar and the door for the chatzer. So the gatehouse, right? There's like a gate and then also a door. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, not all chatzerot need a beit shar. So basically, if one person wants to build a beit shar, right, and the other one says, we don't need a beit shar, so we could say, I don't want to pay for it. Kofinoto, now we're talking about a city. Do all the inhabitants of the city have to pay for certain things? So kofino to livnot la'ir, choma udlatayim ubereach. Okay, we force them to build a wall and doors and a lock for the city. The assumption is, right, like you go into some of the moshavim, right? There's a lock on the city, right? There's a gate and there's a door and there's a lock, right? So all those things, everyone has to do that. Everyone has to chip in. Rashba gomer, lo kol ha'ayarot ru'uyot l'choma. Not all cities need a choma. Now they have an interesting question. Kama yehe be'ir v'yehe ka'anshei ha'ir. How long do you have to live in a city to be considered an inhabitant of the city, right? How many people come live here for a year and then they leave, right? Do they have to start paying for the municipality for all sorts of things if they're not actually residents?
They actually pay arnona from the first
moment. Yes. So they do pay arnona from as soon as you move in. So well, here, it's different than the Mishnah, you'll see.
Where I live, like, we have a vadbayit, because they're like, it's a courtyard, and so like this
right.
comes up.
Yafeh, vadbayit, right. It's very relevant. Mm-hmm. So how long do you have to be living there to pay vadbayit, right? In this country, you're living there a day, you have to pay vadbayit, okay? But again, right, so generally it's on the renter, not the landlord. But so anyway, here they say something interesting. Yud bech chodesh. You have to be living there 12 months. Okay. However, kanaba beitira, and that's why I specifically said if you're renting or you're here for the year. But if you buy a house, hareyu kanshei yer miyad, then you automatically, once you buy, you become a resident of the city. So now the Gemara asks, lemeimra debeit sharmal yutahi. Okay. Now we're gonna have a weird question. According to this, what does it sound like? You have to pay for the beit shar because beit shar is a good thing. Is that what you're saying? It's a good thing. Vaha hau chasida dehava ragil. Eliyahu, to have a mishtai bahadeh. There was a chassid that Eliyahu visited quite often. Avad beit shar, betulo mishtai bahadeh. He built a beit shar, and Eliyahu stopped visiting him. Okay, so what do you see? Obviously, it wasn't a good thing. If Eliyahu stopped visiting him right when he built the beit shar, you can imagine, right? These things happen. They knew Eliyahu used to visit this guy, then he didn't. So everyone tries to figure out, well, when did that happen? And what all of a sudden, what did the guy do? Oh, he built a beit shar. That must be a bad thing. Okay, so now, why could it be, right? So what's going to be the issue here? How can we say on the one hand it's a good thing, on the other hand it was a bad thing? Lo kashya, now we're going to have a few different options. Hami gavai, hami birai. Again, there's some who interpret this the exact opposite, which is which. I'm going to go with one. If you build the Beit Sha'ar outside the courtyard, then you're preventing, what's the issue? Poor people come to the courtyard to ask for tzedakah. Now, if you build a gate outside the courtyard, the aniyim will stand outside the courtyard begging to get in, and they won't be. No one will hear them. So if you build a beit shar outside the chatzer, it's a problem. But if you build it inside, right, so migavai is inside. If you build it inside, then you're okay. That's a good thing. That's our Mishnah, migavai. And mibarai, if you build it outside, it's a problem. Some people say it's the opposite, because if you build a beit shar outside, then the aniyim will be allowed to somehow come in. There's again, a lot of these things, as in yesterday's daf, if you got to it on Shabbat, a lot of things based on reality of the times, it's a little hard for us to exactly figure out what they're talking about. V'ibai tema, and you can see here, possibly even the Gemara didn't know exactly, because they're suggesting all different possibilities here. V'ibai tema, hava ha'mibarai, both think they're both outside. V'lo kashya, hadi ilay delet, hadi leitlay delet. Okay, if one has a door, one doesn't have a door. If there's a door, obviously the aniyim won't get in. If there isn't a door, the aniyim will get in. Ibai dema hava hadi itle delet. No, they both have doors. Velo kashya hadi le potachat hadi leitle potachat. Whether they have a lock or they don't have a lock. Okay, it could be a door, but a door the aniyim can still get in as long as it's not locked. Ibai dema hava hadi itle potachat. Velo kashya hadi potachat di demi gavai hadi potachat di demi barai. If I understand this correctly, I'm not 100% sure, but it sounds like the key is inside or the key is outside. If the key is outside, that means they still can have access to get in. If the key is inside, I don't know what they mean. Like, they leave the key, and then what's the point of having a beit shar? I didn't 100% understand it.
Well, why is the beit shar inside already? Because people
cannot
get in.
Right, right. So, so they can get in enough that people can hear them. Like, an aniyi could say, I want tzedakah, but they still can't get all the way into where the people are living.
Presumably, so that's why. It's not the gatehouse itself that kept Eliyahu from coming. It's the fact that he no longer wanted to hear the poor people and give stuff.
Right, exactly. It could be right. Some other things. But obviously, however you go with this, the point is that he wasn't letting poor people get in to get stuck, and that's why Eliyahu stopped visiting him. Kofino tolev no beit shar v'delet l'chatzir. So now we're getting into the... Right, we'll continue here. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Here we're quoting a brayta with him, with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Lo kol ha'chatzirot ruyot lebeit shar, Ella, now we're going to write the in the Mishnah, he just said, not everything's roi for Beit Shaar. Now the Braita is going to obviously elaborate and explain. Ella chatzera smucha l'reshut harabim ru'uya l'Beit Shaar. One that's near, right, if your courtyard opens up into Reshut HaRabim, okay, even if there's like an alley that's leading to Reshut HaRabim, obviously you're going to need, okay, because generally the Chatzerot opened up into alleyways, which then opened up to Reshut HaRabim. So if it's Samuch to Reshut HaRabim, then you need a gatehouse. But She'ena Smucha L'Reshut HaRabim, Eina Ruya L'Beit Shaar. Okay, that seems pretty obvious, right? If your Chatzer opens up to an area where there's just another few houses, another Chatzer, so that's not, you don't really need a gatehouse to protect you from that. But what about Rabbanan? Rabbanan, what do they say? Zimnin didachke b'nei Reshut HaRabim va'ayle va'atu. Sometimes Reshut HaRabim gets so crowded that they're going to go into the next place, which is going to lead into yours, and it could be people will end up in your chatzir, even if it doesn't directly open up into Reshut HaRabim. And that's why Chachamim say you always need to. And Rabban Shimon Gamliel said it depends whether or not the chatzir really needs a Beit Shaar or not. Now we're going to get to the city. Kofino to livnot le'ir. Skip the parentheses. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer lo kol ha'ayarot ruyot l'choma. Again, it's going to elaborate here much more so. Ela, ir hasmucha l'sfar, ruya l'choma. V'she'en hasmucha l'sfar, ena ruya l'choma. If you're in a city that's near the, right, how do they translate sfar? The border. Right, you're near the border, that's where the enemy might come in, right? So you're going to need a door and a choma, a wall. But if you're not, then there's no danger of enemies coming in. V'rabanan, zimnim dimakarav, ateg aisa. War could come from any direction. You always have to be protected in the city, whether you're bordering on some enemy territory or not. They can come from anywhere. Bamine Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yochanan. This is a very interesting question. Kishehen govin, lefi nefashot govin, odilma lefi shevach mamon govin. How do we pay? How do we tax people? Do we pay based on how many people they are? Or do we pay based on how much money people have? And as you pay, right? Taxes are sometimes dependent, right? Income taxes, for example, depend on how much money you make. Whereas property taxes here are based on, you know, your property size. Here they're saying based on your family size or based on how much money you make. Amarle lefima mongovin. So he says lefima mongovin, and here I go. I told you we're going to return to this. Velazar bini keva ba masmerot. Okay, he says. Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Elazar, he calls him bini in a term of endearment. He says keva ba masmerot. You know, nail this down. Make this very clear to people that this is what the halacha is. You pay taxes based on your financial situation. What's interesting about this is that's one reading, okay? Now, he told him, make sure everybody knows this, okay? That's one reading of what happened between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. There's another reading, okay? Obviously, there was some confusion here, even though he said, make sure everybody knows this. Ika d'amre, ba'amina Rabbi Elazar mi Rabbi Yochanan. The question he asked was not, is it based on menifashot or shevach mamon? Because shehen govim is a very interesting theory. Lefi kiruv batim heim govin, odilma lefi mamon govin. Do you pay your taxes based on, for the wall, based on how close you live to the wall? Because obviously you're more in danger and you need the protection much more if you're one of the people who lives closer to the wall rather than if you're someone who lives all the way inside the city. So it's dependent on where you're living, and believe it or not, what does he say?
Just like the borders.
Amalei. What?
It's just like the borders question. Are you closer to the border or further away from the border? Closer to the edge of the city or all the way
No, inside. But that's, do you need a wall at all if you're closer to the, if that's, does the city itself need to build a wall if they live closer to a border or not? This is, with once we decide the city needs a wall, do the people closer to the wall have to pay more because they need the protection more? And where does this lead to? For those who need to go, where does this lead to? It leads to the Talmidei Chachamim, who we talked about, don't need protection and therefore they don't need to pay taxes. Remember we saw that? So now, what do we say here? He says, so the question, so what is the answer? Lefiki rubatim heim govim ve'alazar b'ni kvaba masmerot. Okay, make sure everybody knows this. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Nisia, Rama Deshura Adarabanan. He made the rabbis pay for, right, this is for the chomata ear on the rabbis. Amarish Lakish, Rabbanan lo tzricha nitiruta, right? The rabbis don't need protection. Why should the rabbis have to pay for the wall? Dichtiv, how do we know they don't have to pay for the wall? Aspirei michol yirbayun. Okay, here's a pasuk, right, which talks about they're counted like the like the sand. Okay, it's a pasuk in, right, where is this one? This is from Tehillim. Okay? Esperem leman, who are we talking about counting, that they're like chol? Ilem le tzadikim, denefishe michala, that can't possibly be that the tzadikim are more than the sand on the earth. Okay, why can't that possibly be? Very mathematical. Hashda kulu Yisrael k'tibu k'chol asher asvatayam, tzadikim atzma michol yirbayun? How could it possibly be if all of the Jews are like chol? Right? So the tzaddikim can't be as many as more than B'nai, right? Or equal to B'nai Yisrael. The assumption is not everybody's a tzaddik. Elahachi kamar. Esperem lema'asehem shel tzaddikim mechol yirbayun. Their ma'asim are greater than sand. Bekal v'chomer. And here's the kal v'chomer. Machol shemu'at megen al hayam. Just like the chol, which basically protect, right? It's, I don't know why they say shemu'at. The chol is, I see. It's less than the ma'asim of the tzaddikim, okay? There's less sand than the ma'asim of tzaddikim are greater than the sand. So if sand is smaller than that and it protects the yam, so ma'asehem shel tzaddikim, right? You have to think about what that means, that the sand protects the water, but okay. Ma'asehem shel tzaddikim shehem merubim l'kol shekein shemiginim alehem, right? Obviously, they are protected, okay? If their ma'asim are so great, their ma'asim must protect them, in which case they obviously don't need to chip in for the wall. So ki ata lekamed Rabbi Yochanan amarle, my tamalo tamale maha. No, you should learn it from here. As Rish Lakish, you learn it from this pasuk about the asperem michol. Okay. So now, why don't you learn it from here? Ani choma v'shadai migdalot. This is from Shir Hashirim, right? I'm a wall, and my breasts are like towers. Ani choma zo Torah v'shadai kamigdalot elu tamidei chachamim. And if they're the tamidei chachamim, are like a migdal. Obviously, then, they don't need protection, right? A migdal is already protected. So, Virish Lakish, so now we're just asking, right? Everyone agrees that the Talmidei Chachamim don't need protection. This is all, why did he take the tax from the Talmidei Chachamim to build the wall? So now they're just asking a side question, which is, why did Rish Lakish learn it from those Pesukim, from Shir HaShirim? So he obviously has a different interpretation of that Pesuk. Rish Lakish, Savala, Kedidarish Rava, Ani Choma, Zer Knesset Yisrael, V'Shadai Kemigdalo, Elu Batei Knesiot, Batei Midrashot. And he didn't understand that it's relating to Talmidei Chachamim, it's relating to the places of learning. And that's not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily mean that the rabbis are protected on their own. Maybe it means if they're in the Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaMidrash, they're protected, or the Beit Knesset, or anyone who is. But outside of there, right, and anyone could be unprotected, and therefore he needs to learn it from the other pasuk, that just like the chol protects the yam, therefore the ma'asim of the tzaddikim protect the Talmidei Chachamim. Again, the assumption is, and I'll leave this as a last option, a last comment, that tzaddikim is the same as Talmidei Chachamim, which is quite a difficult statement because we've seen all sorts of Gemaras that kind of talked about the fact that the Talmidei Chachamim, it's true, they definitely have a lot of ma'asim tovim. Whether you put them in necessarily in the category of tzaddikim is a good question, right? They're not necessarily always that way. And I'll end with one last thought that just came into my head, which is also that both here, right, the story starts with this chasida, and then we get to the tzaddikim, and maybe it's also a little bit of a comment on where we started today, about the brothers that start saying, I'm not going to let you knock down my house because, you know, you're comfortable in your little ten tefachim house, and that doesn't affect me, and that there's a little bit of a, you know, there's regular people who maybe act this way, and like we end above a metziah was saying, there's the law, right, but then there's lifnei mishurat hadin, and there's the chasidim, and there's the tzaddikim who see things differently and are willing to, you know, kind of look out of the box and don't only think about themselves and what's good for them, but looking at the others. So on the one hand, there's the law, but what's the law? But then there's other things that we have to always kind of keep in mind also. And you have to wonder, in light of that, why in the beginning of Amud Aleph, when he said, Achim shechalku enlam lo derech zelze, lo chalonot, lo sulamot, don't let your brother go, you know, you don't need to let him go anywhere in your property. And he says, kvamas meropazel, like why he made it such a big deal that you should make sure everybody knows this when it's such a halacha that's hard to swallow. And this is maybe a bit of a reaction against that, that it's not really the way we do things. So,
just have one comment on this. Yeah. And it's just like a comment, I don't know how to respond to it. But I think it's really interesting that it talks about a courtyard in a city, because in the days of the Mishnah, they're living under the Romans. So I get where they have control over the courtyard and, you know, that's like neighborhood kind of stuff. But talking about taxes for the city, I would assume that they didn't
They didn't build the chamot and the...
And they didn't control the taxes. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm just wondering, were they... Was this like a message of tikva that one day this is going to be our responsibility?
So is it clear that they didn't have... I think it's clear from the Mishnah that historically they must have... There must have been towns where Jews lived and it was just Jews and they controlled... The Romans must have allowed them a certain amount of independence within their... This would definitely prove that. If you wanted to learn history from Mishnayot, which, you know, again, I don't like to learn history from stories. Right. I feel like that, you know, they weren't meant to be written as history. But... To learn history, if they're talking about the people have to chip in for the wall, building the wall in the city, then you have to imagine that
there were Jewish cities
and the cities that were populated by Jews were able to do that. I mean, obviously, there's all talk, we learned about in Eruvim, where, you know, there was one, if there's Jews and non-Jews living in the courts together, you know, already other times it wasn't exactly like that, and this might not match all the cities. But this is talking about a place where the Jews would be taking the taxes for their own, I have to imagine.